Do you really need all of those photos on your phone? Ask yourself this question today. Is your personal email account just full of work documents that you'll never need, but you're just afraid to delete? When you cannot see it, it's easy to allow it to build up, isn't it? But it's not good for you, and you just might be a digital hoarder. Now, one man who knows all about this is Brendan Kelly, Professor of Psychiatry at TCD and the author of In Search of Madness. Professor Brendan Kelly is on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for the chat today. Brendan, from a psychiatric point of view, what's the difference between, let's say, traditional and digital hoarding?
Well, hoarding is, you know, the reluctance to get rid of things that no longer hold value. And I guess the difference with digital hoarding is it's so easy to do because we feel we have infinite space. It's easy to let stuff pile up in email accounts or in folders on desktops in a big jumble. We don't feel the need to organize it because we can search for what we want and we think we can keep everything because it feels infinite. Whereas hoarding in your house, you run out of space quite quickly and there's a limit that way. But it feels limitless in the digital world.
So, like, are you telling me we don't have infinite space?
Yeah. So one of the signs of digital hoarding is if you're constantly getting messages saying you're running out of space,
you need more space.
To buy more storage.
Yeah.
And then to take a photograph, you have to delete several photographs and then delete them from the deleted file and so forth. So the space isn't infinite. And the other big point, of course, is that storing large amounts of unnecessary data does have an environmental impact at server centers. So it's not without cost.
Interesting. I mean, inboxes and phone memory, all of this stuff is straight ahead of what it used to be. So in what ways do big tech companies almost encourage us to store everything?
Well, they certainly don't encourage, if you like, good storage habits. So, for example, with emails, it should be relatively easy to include a feature whereby each email would delete itself 5 minutes after it was read, unless you actively clicked save. So something like an opt-in to saving rather than saving being the default would be very, very helpful. But of course, the big companies want us to store these masses of information. So then we pay a relatively small amount every month for extra storage, but we almost forget we're paying it, and we pay it for years and years and years, when in fact we don't need all the storage that we buy.
It's interesting. This is one of those things that we know we should do, but we never get around to doing it. It's a bit like changing our passwords and all that kind of stuff, but it is so important to do, and it's always on the list. I bet it's on everyone's list. Is it on your list, Kate? Yeah, on your list. To go through what we have and what we need and what we don't need. Is this type of hoarding, would it be a possible red flag about, I mean, if it gets out of hand, about people's mental health?
Yes, it's certainly associated with inducing stress, and it lowers productivity as well, having masses of stuff around the place in a disorganized way. It also slows down devices. But maybe the biggest problem is that it's like a background stress. It doesn't crop up acutely. Mm-hmm. And it's always there. It's kind of like a hum from a fridge or something that you might forget it's there, but it is there and it does have this cumulative effect. And if you look at the opposite, if you think about spring cleaning your house, it's something many people are reluctant to do, but when they do it, they inevitably feel better afterwards. So it's, you know, there is a possibility for using this to feel better by taking control of digital storage and digital life more generally.
I feel like a terrible human being if I delete any pictures of my kids.
Jen, you're not a terrible human being. What's happening now is you're catastrophizing. You're exaggerating. What you could do is reorganize. And people very quickly find, for example, that they might have duplicate copies of many, many things that they've stored in different ways for fear of losing it, which is really a very unlikely event. So easily between 30 or 50% of most people's storage is duplicates. So it is not necessary, Jen, to delete your children in order to clean up your desktop or clean up your computer, but just check what are duplicates. And there's going to be a lot of unimportant stuff, you know, far less important than the photos of your kids that you will be able to dump.
Okay, good advice. I mean, I'm sure people hoard digital content for different reasons, you know, just in case they ever need it is a big one, or because their workplace expects it, or because they have it all organized, or like many of us, they just don't even know where to start. What's your advice to someone who knows they need a digital clear out?
Oh, well, the first thing is people tend to keep old devices for fear they want something that's on them, and you don't. You should get rid of and recycle all your old devices, phones, laptops and so forth. Start by unsubscribing assertively to emails that come flying in. Unsubscribe whenever you see the unsubscribe button.
Good advice.
And the next thing is to create folders on your desktop. I mean, many of us will have seen some people's computer desktops and you know, felt absolutely shocked at, you know, 50 or 60 files spread across it and about 20 tabs open on a browser. So folders on your desktops is another big organizing principle. Deleting duplicates, and then every month, purging the photographs on the phone. An awful lot of photographs are taken by mistake, you know, photographs of the ground, of your pocket and stuff like this. They can all be deleted. And then auto deleting text messages. You know, history does not need to have all your text messages from the past 10 years saved on your phone. Pretty much all of them can be deleted.
Oh, my God. I know what to do now. I feel like you've unlocked something. This is something that I know where to start now. So thank you. I know the two Johnnies were talking about this recently because I was tuned in, and they were talking about the amount of unread emails someone had. And I think someone called into their show and was like, I have 2,000 unread emails. I know my sister-in-law, for example, would have like thereabouts emails in their thousands on that little icon. You know, the notifications, like 3,765 emails unread. Where do you even start with that? I mean, do you just get rid of them all and start afresh? I mean, if they're that important, surely they'll email back. What do you think?
Yeah.
For someone who has that amount of emails.
Yeah, you just delete them all. Or delete all the unread emails, the whole lot of them. And then whenever emails come in, you deal with the emails each day, deleting most of them because they're irrelevant. And that's what we can do as individuals. And we should try and do that as best we can. But there is a bigger responsibility here on the email providers to make this easier for us to, you know, to delete, having an auto delete feature that we have to opt in to saving. And there are other really interesting ideas been mooted. So, for example, some companies place a limit on the number of emails an employee can send per day to try and discourage the, you know, copying them to everybody or sending unnecessary emails or emails to hundreds of people on lists. So creating a limit on the number of emails that can be sent in the first place is a really good idea. And if you're very self-disciplined, you could enforce that in your own life and only give yourself, say, 50 emails to send in a day, mm-hmm. and never go above that, force you to think a little bit about before dashing off an email.
Digital mental health must be an expanding area in psychiatry. What are you learning?
Well, the biggest message is there's an enormous amount that's good about the digital world that can help greatly with mental health, be it providing information, various kinds of online therapy, communities of support that can be made. But the digital world is a little bit complex for us. Its capacities are enormous and they exceed our brain's capacity to manage it. I do think younger people are better at this than people like myself. I'm in my late 40s, let's say, and the internet arrived at a certain point in my life. While we do talk about young people's reliance on social media and phones, etc., I seem to think that they have a greater awareness of what is online and what is in real mm-hmm. life. And I imagine they will manage this better than many people of my generation who have completely lost the run of themselves with emails and social media and are utterly unable to manage their digital lives and in many cases their personal lives as well.
Professor Kelly, thank you so much for joining me to look into the murky world of digital hoarding. There we go. That was Brendan Kelly, Professor of Psychiatry in TCD and the author of In Search of Madness.
Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.